I too want to extend Christian greetings to you this morning. It's really good to be back with you again. It feels like it's been a while, and I think it's been two Sundays since we were here. And one of those Sundays was planned, and the other one was not planned. And I want to thank Brother Dwight for being willing to share last weekend on very short notice. I got sick Saturday night and wasn't able to be here last week. And some of our family's been under the weather for the most of the week, and we praise God for his healing today. So for allowing us to be here today. My wife's grandpa is not doing so well, so there's maybe a possibility that we'll have to leave again in the next several weeks, I'm not sure. But yeah, just remember him. He has cancer, and he's not doing so great. For a message this morning, if you would, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 8. And I've titled the message this morning, An Honest and Good Heart. And if I was to take a raise of hands from you, how many of you would say you have an honest and good heart? We all want an honest and good heart, don't we? I want an honest and a good heart. And God, and Jesus wants that from us as well. I was grappling with some questions in my own life. And I feel this message is for me this morning. Especially the things that I tend to worry sometimes, and it's not a character trait that is something to develop. Some of us probably are more prone to worrying than others, and it's not something that we need to grow in. It's something we need to shrink in, is worrying. But are the circumstances we find ourselves in a curse or a blessing? If you look at your own life and your own circumstances, would you say that the circumstances that you have been handed or find yourself in, are they a curse? Do you look at them as a curse or do you look at them as a blessing? You don't have to answer that, but you think about that. And for me, I look at the circumstances sometimes, and sometimes I look at them as a blessing, and sometimes I look at them as a curse. Just to be honest, I get very frustrated with life sometimes. And yet, circumstances are simply where we find ourselves in life. Our character is determined, how we respond to the circumstances is how our character is shaped and developed and formed. We can react to our circumstances in bitterness. And we can let the seed of bitterness go down into our heart, and we can foster that, and we can imagine that everybody is out to get us. Everything, even God, is out to get us. And we can turn bitter, more bitter, and more and more and more bitter. And by the time we're old, everybody knows us as the bitter old man or the bitter old lady. We can be that way. Or we can look at the circumstances that we have, and we can allow God's grace to work in our life, and we can become sweeter through that. These are questions that I need to think about. And how do I respond to the lemons that I feel are the fruit that I have to eat? In Luke chapter 8, in verse 1 through 3, it says, And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing or declaring the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. Who were the 12? Right? It was Peter, James, and John, and his 12 disciples, right? Those were his disciples. And can you imagine Jesus going from this town, and he has 12 disciples with him? Oh, wait, not just 12 disciples. There were certain women with him, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. There was Mary Magdalene, and she had been delivered from 7 devils. You don't know anybody that has 7 devils, I don't think. But Mary Magdalene had 7 devils. There was Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward. So Joanna's husband was the caretaker for the king. He was over Herod's domestic affairs. So like he would have, if Herod, he was the king, if Herod would have had a farm, Mr. Chuza would have been the one that took care of managing it. He took care of his finances, his personal finances, his farm, his household. That was him. But his wife, Mr. Chuza's wife, was Joanna, and she was following Jesus. She was delivered from an infirmity too, an evil spirit and infirmity. And then there was Susanna, which I don't know who Susanna was, but Susanna was also delivered from infirmity and evil spirits. So they also went along with Jesus as he was going. These three and many others, it says, and they ministered or they served Jesus out of their substance. I've often wondered how Jesus survived. He didn't have a regular job. But here it says, I mean, this is one clue in that there, some of the people that were with him would minister or serve him out of their substance. But Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Susanna were certain women which had been delivered from infirmities and evil spirits. They had been delivered from some sort of a bondage, some sort of a hold, whether it was a mental illness, whether it was, I don't know how it manifested itself, but it was something that had kept them bound. It was something that had kept them bound. In verse 1, it says, it came to pass afterward. After what? If we go back to Luke 7, verse 36, at the end of the chapter, I won't turn to that. But there's the account of Jesus going to Simon the leper's house. And there was a woman there that came to him weeping. She was a sinner, it says. She was a sinner. And she came to him weeping. And she anointed his feet. She anointed his feet with some very expensive perfume that cost her a lot of money. But it was something that she could do. She came weeping before him. In her, she wanted something better. She wanted something different than the circumstances she found herself in. She wanted to do something. She wanted to move forward in a better direction, but she didn't know how. And she didn't know how to deal with the past. Her past was here. She wanted something different for the future, but she wanted to be close to Jesus. And that was Mary. I don't know if it was Mary Magdalene or who it was exactly, but her name was Mary. In Mark, it talks about it being, or Matthew, I believe. No, I'm sorry, John. In John 12, it talks about her being Lazarus' sister, I believe, Mary. But she poured out this oil. She wiped his feet with her hair and washed it with her tears. And Jesus said, Thy sins are forgiven you. He took care of the past, but it was up to her to live in for the future. And if you read that account there, the man, the Pharisee that she had barged in on, maybe, he said that this was no prophet. Jesus was no prophet because he would have known what kind of person this was, and he wouldn't have let her do this if he would have known who this was. But he was just thinking that in his head, and Jesus says, told him a story about two debtors. And he said, one owed a lot of money and one owed a little bit of money, but neither one could pay. And so the one that they were in debt to forgave them both. He said, which one do you think would love the most? And he said, the one that was forgiven the most. And he said, that's right. So this woman here has been forgiven a lot. She will love much. She will love much. That's the point I want to bring out. This woman that was forgiven much, loved much. These three women that were following Jesus were all forgiven much. They loved much. And they served out of their substance with what they had. They left their regular schedule. They were following him as they went through these towns and villages. They were coming from Bethany. They were close to Jerusalem at that time. And I'm not sure where they were headed. Maybe back to Capernaum, which is 110 or 120 miles across there. So there's a lot of towns and villages as they're walking down through there to be at. But these were all healed and set free in some form. All of them served with what they had, with their love, with their possessions, with who and what they were. They served Jesus. They loved and served. So that was the start to this honest and good heart. But as they were going, one of the towns they came to, Jesus, let's go into verse 4. When much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. And this was the parable. This is the story he said. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now when Jesus says, if you have ears on your head, listen. That's what he's saying. There's more to it than just a story. This is not just a story for you to sit down and clap at the end. No, this is a story with a meaning. His disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. You know, one time I'm going to put it in my own words here a little bit. There was a farmer had a farm, and on his this is his farm. I'm just going to make it a big circle here. On his farm, he had a barn. So there's a barn here, and he has a house over here, and he has a road that comes in to his drive into his farm, and it comes up, goes around his barn, and go around his house there a little bit. So this is his driveway or road. And in his barn he has a lot of animals. But every week, and those animals, they eat hay and they do what animals do, and they make a big mess in the barn. So every week he takes out of his barn. He comes back here. He just takes a skid loader and he cleans out all the manure and straw and feed and stuff out of his barn, and he just makes a big pile out here. And it went on and on and on for, he just had a big pile out there in his field. And his wife, she'd cook and they'd eat, and every day they'd have table scraps and whatnot, slop, and she'd come out here and she'd send the children out and they'd dump the slop on the pile. Just a big pile of manure and slop. And one day, the farmer decided that he's going to go clean up his field. So he cleans his field up and he picks all the stones. There's stones all through his field here, and he picks up all the stones, and where could he put the stones where there wouldn't be a problem? So he hauls them, him and his boys and some of his girls, they haul the stones, and they decided they're going to make a big rock pile over here. So they just make a big rock pile way back in the back corner of his field. But actually, they still had field to go around it here. Big rock pile. Well, he's a good farmer. And his cows, he decides it's going to be better if he can grow his own high quality hay. So he had good seed, and he researched to find the best seed he could find. Well, guess what? Whatever brand, I don't know what good hay seed is, but he got the best he could find. And he said, I want to get the very, very best. All right? So he did. He got it, and he wants to grow the most hay he can get. So he puts the seed in his broadcaster machine that he has. And so he starts from the barn here, and he drives down here, and he just throws seed everywhere, just across the road, across his field. And he thought, you know what? I can't do that. I got to stop. I got to get rid of my big pile back here. That's just ugly. I'm gonna get rid of it. So he pushes this pile out. He said, "This is such an eyesore. I don't know what I'm gonna do with it." But so he just takes it from the back and he spreads it all across this whole back part back here. He spreads it all back there. And you know what? There's no manure in there anymore. No straw. It's some of the most beautiful dirt. Even the slop has turned into good dirt. And he was like, wow, that's good. It made a nice big layer. He pushed it all around the rock pile, all around back here, and pushed it everywhere. So he pushed it back there. Well, he had this neighbor over here on this side, and his neighbor on this side over here. They didn't worry about their ground. They didn't look for the best seed. They didn't do anything. They just let their ground go to nothing. They were doctors, and they could care less what their grass looked like. So this man, he went, after he got done pushing it all out, he got his cedar back out, and so he starts. He already had made a pass down here, so he left this one. But he seeded the whole thing, seeded all the way around that all his ground, he went across his driveway, seeded all around the house, everywhere, around this rock pile, and even got seed all over the rocks. Seeded the whole thing back there, and used all his seed up, but it was good now. He had his farm seeded. So he waited. He waited, and it rained. It rained, and it was beautiful weather, and he looked out. He'd get on his four-wheeler and drive across his farm, and sure enough, he noticed there was nothing growing on his driveway. He didn't expect it to. It just kind of was good seed. Every single one of those seeds, it said, was guaranteed to germinate. They had a guarantee from the seed place that they would all germinate. So he thought maybe he should get some money back because there was nothing that grew on his driveway. But all these front fields just looked beautiful. The back fields looked beautiful. Even the rock pile was growing grass. He was amazed. He said, "Wow, maybe we'll get some hay off the rock pile." So he had seed on his road, on his driveway. He had seed on the rock pile. He had seed in the front. But the neighbors had weed patches over here. So the neighbors had lots of weeds. They had thistles. There's big, ugly, well, they were pretty actually in sometimes, but they would, these thistles would turn, they were pink sometimes and they would turn white. And when they turned white, it would just blow seed everywhere. But anyway, as his hay grew, it was just a beautiful stand of hay. It grew and grew and grew. But he started noticing that in this front part, right along the neighbor's field here, his hay, it had lots of those thistles in there. But he said, "Well, I have such good seed, I'm not going to worry about it. It's really, really good seed. I'm not going to worry about it." But the front field, after a while, it looked like there was about as many thistles in there as there was hay. And it was growing. It grew up so fast. But he said, "Surely, I mean, it was good hay in there." Well, the time came for him to go and harvest his hay. And the thistles were so tall, he went out there and walked through his hay field. And there was no grass in there. He couldn't believe it. I mean, there was grass, but it was just really short and wasn't very thick. And he could not believe it. He could not believe it. He said, "Who's going to eat thistles? No cows will eat thistles very well." And he was very, very discouraged. But back here on this rock pile where the grass had started growing, there was nothing. He just found a few dead, shriveled up stalks. But all around where he had pushed his compost pile, he had the thickest hay. His hay mower would bog down. He had to go real slow because his hay was so thick. And he actually got more hay off of his farm, off of the back part of his farm, than he ever thought he would get. It was so thick back there because the slop pile had converted from being trash into being something good. And the seed just grew amazing back there. Well, that's the story Jesus told. That's my own words there. But did you know that people are that way too? We have some road people in our world today. I'm going to call them road people, driveway people. Now, these people, their heart is as hard as a driveway. Their ears are as hard as a driveway. They don't hear anything. And the seed, God's word, it says in Luke, in verse 11, it says, "The seed is the word of God." The word of God, in Hebrews 4:12, it says it's quick. It's alive. It means it's alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. And it can pierce even right into between the joints, the marrow, right through the bone. It can get right inside there, right way down inside. That's how God's word is. It's alive and it's powerful. But some people's hearts are like a driveway that's so hard, the seed just bounces off. Make sure you're not one of them. But that's the word picture he uses. Their heart is so hard, it's like a road, like a paved road. It will not grow. The seed will not grow there. When they hear the word, the devil comes. He's like a bird. He just grabs the seed away and blows it off and runs over top of it, making sure that there's enough other things happening that they can't listen, won't hear, won't sit there real long. Because even God knows all hearts, and he wants everyone to have an equal chance. And even the hardest looking hearts sometimes can be softened, but not always. I mean, they don't always soften. But that's the road people are unresponsive. They're deaf. They're just really hard. The word doesn't have any effect on them. But then we have some rock pile people. And they are some who are really quick. They hear it. Oh, yes, that's a good thing. I love it. Everything is perfect. I love it. Let's give it a try. You ever hear that? Let's give it a try. But they're not really committed. They give it a try. They fit in, but they keep the exit real close. They make sure there's a door in sight so that if things get a little tough, we can jump out. Maybe it's a window. Maybe they keep a window handy. But you know, when things get, maybe they thought it was going to make their life better, and they're going to have, their worries would all go away, they would have lots of money, they would never have any problems, and so they take this and give it a try, only to become discouraged when they discover that there are things that are difficult. There are things that are hard. There are things, we will go through hard times. There are temptations. There's struggle. And sometimes it feels like it's worse than it was before. And then they say, we got to get out. So they jump out, or they wither and die spiritually. So the seed from the word doesn't take root. It doesn't grow to maturity. But what about weed patch people? And here's where I can see myself. I'll just be honest with you. I can see myself as a weed patch person. Because I have a sincere desire to serve the Lord. A very sincere desire. And I think many of us can identify with this. We want to serve the Lord with all our heart. And we in the mornings, we make a commitment. We have a blessed time with the Lord, but then we get up and life happens, and things go wrong. Things get busy or go wrong or go sideways, or somebody looks at us cross-eyed, or we look at somebody else cross-eyed. I don't know what all happens, but there's that. And then this day is busy, and the next day is busy, and on it goes. Worries creep in and settle in and take root. And the desire that we had, the sincerity that we had, starts to cool off a little bit. You know, one thing that causes thorns to grow in our life, in my life, is when I've tasted it good. Things are comfortable. Things are nice. We don't worry about how we're going to pay the credit card bill this month. We don't worry about if we have enough money to buy groceries, or if we have enough money to buy diapers for the baby, or if we have enough money to make this trip that we feel we need to make. Things are comfortable. And so we are. It's easy for us to give lip service to serving the Lord. But when God turns the heat up a little bit and he says, here, I want to test you to see if you really mean what you say, what you profess, or sometimes God has more, it's not so much of a test as it is he wants to grow our character. He wants to help the fruit to start to form. But he turns up some heat, some stress. God turns the dial just a little bit. But if we've developed a taste for the comfortable and for the luxurious, then we suddenly feel like God took something away from us. And we don't like it. Our priorities can subtly shift. You know, another thing that goes along with having things comfortable is that we become entitled to, have you ever thought about this? We become entitled to vacations. I don't know if that's something that you found or not, but if you have the means and the wherewithal and you don't have to do something, then you become entitled to relax. You feel like you're entitled to relax. And we find creative and more expensive and complicated ways to enjoy life. And we create a comfortable niche. And our priorities change. They shift a little bit. But have we... that song, there's a song that we used to sing. It says, would we truly long for heaven if our life was perfect here? Would we truly long for heaven if our life was perfect here? I forget how it all goes, but that's the saying. Would we truly long for heaven if our life was perfect here? Would we know something about heartache if we never shed a tear? And sometimes our life is pretty good, and so we go along. And that's like thorns growing up beside the seed. That's like thorns, like thistles growing up right beside it. As long as they both have equal sunshine, they both look pretty good. But when our priorities subtly shift, we start enjoying the things around us more than we enjoy, or more than we rely on God, then our fruit that God is trying to develop in us can't mature. It gets stunted. It started, but it can't finish. You know, serving the Lord with all our heart and mind and soul becomes diluted. And here's the thing for me. When I get used to that lifestyle, and then have to rely on the Lord for... have to rely on the Lord? And no, I look at it as an inconvenience. Have you ever experienced that? You look at it as an inconvenience and a tremendous problem or punishment. When God says, well, that's where I want you to be. I love it when you have to ask me. I love it when you have to rely on me. Then I can show myself strong. And it allows the fruit in your heart to grow. And yet, in our humanity, we look for the day, we look forward to the day when things will be better, when we don't have to, quote, we would say we don't have to live hand to mouth, but we don't have to rely on the Lord for everything. But is better a blessing from the Lord, or is it thistles that's keeping the fruit from growing in our heart? It's something to think about. It's something for me to think about, because Jesus specifically said that that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked. It says choked. That means the life is squeezed out of it with cares, that would be worry, with riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. It doesn't say there's no fruit. It says the fruit can't mature. Because when you have the cares or the all the worries of everything and the riches and the pleasures, then you don't have the, there's no way for God to, or the God isn't able to use those, that reliance on Him in those areas to let the fruit mature. So is, when we look, when we say we look forward to the day when things will be better, as in our circumstances change, is that better, quote, a blessing from the Lord, or would it be more thorns or thistles that would be choking out the word and making us keeping the fruit from maturing in our heart, in our life? So that's the weed patch people, I'm going to call it. Then we have the slop pile people. And pardon the expression a little bit, but a slop pile is a pile of compost. And over time it breaks down. It turns into some very, very fertile earth. Well, that's what Jesus does in a sinner's heart. When they make a commitment in sincerity and truth and have a desire to serve the Lord with all their heart, they realize they have been redeemed from a life of sin. It's like a trash pile that is turned from trash into fertile soil. The seed can sink into that. It can grow. The roots can go down. In Ephesians, it talks about the roots growing down and the branch stretching out towards the light or towards heaven. And that's what the word, the seed is. The word of God, the root should go down into that redeemed soil. And the fruit should grow up and bear 100-fold. But many times when we're growing in that soil, when the fruit is maturing, it's not because things are so wonderful for us in having everything we want from a physical standpoint. It says that on the good ground are they, verse 15, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. They bring forth fruit with patience. That patience has to do with endurance. That patience has to do with bearing the hardships that come our way from the circumstances that we have been given. Whether it's good circumstances, whether it's poor circumstances. We bring forth fruit with patience. Endurance. Willing to let the fruit grow to perfection, to maturity. And I'm going to call that the slop pile. Now, it's a transformed soil is what it is. It's not focused on the trash. It's focused on what it has become. And that's what God does. That's what God does with us when we are converted. If we let him, he takes the, in an honest and good heart, let the fruit grow. Having heard the word, keep it and let it bring forth fruit with patience. And then when that happens, let's go to verse 16. It says, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. When that fruit is maturing, when that life is stretching out towards heaven, it's like a light to shine out. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. I think it's building a little bit on the previous parable there. So we have the road people, the hard heart. There's no life there at all. So that's pretty clear. But then you have the rock pile, and there's a little bit of life that comes out, but it withers away pretty quick. And then you have the weed patch, and there's life and there's sincerity, but it gets choked out. The fruit doesn't mature. And then you have the ones who have experienced the transformation, the slop pile. And the life is there. But in verse 18 it says, take heed now how you hear. Or because of this, listen. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have. In an honest and good heart, let's bear fruit. Let's bear fruit, and let's let it go. You know, when we find ourselves in circumstances that are less than desirable, can we give God the credit for allowing us to be there and trust him to let us bear fruit to maturity? Let's stand for prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the trials in our life that you have sent our way or allowed us to experience. We know that you won't send us anything that is too much for us to bear. And yet it feels like it sometimes, Lord. But we ask that you would help us to bear fruit to maturity out of an honest and a good heart. I thank you also, Lord, for the way that you're able to transform some of the trash into soil that is fertile. And you can take our hearts, Lord, and transform them into hearts that bear fruit. I just ask that you would be with us today. Be with each one here. Lord, we're maybe all at a little bit different place in our journey with you. But Father, I just ask that we could all have an honest and a good heart, that fruit could grow to perfection. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.